Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Essence of the Upanishads. The title is Sutras, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शांति शांति शांति. ब्लेस सेल्फ इन ऑल एडोरेशंस. कठोपनिषद इन द सेकंड चैप्टर वल्ली नंबर 5 मंत्र नंबर 9. लॉर्ड यमा गिव्स वेरियस इलस्ट्रेशंस, allegorical illustration for explaining the nature of Brahman, the Absolute Self. Agnir yathaiko bhuvanam pravishto rupam rupam pratirupo babhuva ekastatha sarvabhutantaratma rupam rupam pratirupo vahishcha. Fire, having entered the world, assumes the forms of the objects that it pervades. In the same way, the innermost self of all beings, though one, assumes different forms and abides in them. The elements become the most effective symbols of Brahman, the Absolute Self, says Dattatreya. And enumerating various gurus, he mentions how he received teachings from the elements. The message is that it's there for everyone to draw spiritual insight. You have the Akasha element, the ether, space. Space permeates all and remains untouched. The deepest you, the real you, the Atman, is even subtler than Akasha. Akasha is space, that's effect of Brahman through Maya. If Akasha, space, can give you its miraculous properties, think of all the clouds in the sky. Space supports them. Silvery clouds, dark clouds. There is no objection from the point of view of the space. Akasha welcomes them, allows them to do all their thunder, rain and lightning. And not only what happens in this up in the sky, down on the earth, every action requires space. If you are a painter working on a canvas, you need space for your hands to move. The space is all around you. You can very precisely paint a picture. And while you are striking your brush on the canvas, space is all around you. You can't put that brush on the nose of the sky. That's dramatizing. To show the detached state of the sky. It is there. Without it, nothing can be done. And yet, all your actions cannot touch the sky. Fire is another element. It abides in all objects. In two pieces of wood, if you create friction, fire emerges. It emerges because it was hidden in all things of this world. Fire element has numerous expressions. We study Vedantic category of the elements. When we speak of element, it has two aspects. One is Panchtana Matras, the subtlest form of elements. From Brahman arose Akasha, the space, the ether. From ether arose air, from air, fire, fire, water, water, earth. But those names are not to be confused with the gross elements that you are aware of, because those elements have been the constituents of your mind, your intellect, your ego. A person is too irritable, we say it's more fire. A person is so full of affection and mindness, mamata, it's more water there, and so forth. And if mind is jumping all around, it's more air there. But come down to the very practical world, those subtle elements have gone into a special combination and permutation to create gross elements. So you are dealing with gross elements, the akasha, the space. That space is different from the space, the subtle space that created the mind. But I'm not going into those details. The basic point that fire is everywhere on this earth, internally and externally. All living beings maintain a certain degree of temperature, especially human beings. It's fire. The body, therefore, is called deha, because dahyati. It's always on fire. It's cooking, slow, simmering. It takes 70 years, 80 years, 100 years. But you don't see the form of fire. If you burn any fuel, the fire takes the form of the fuel. It can be circular, it can be straight, it can be bent. But fire in itself is neither circular nor bent. It's totally different from things that are consumed by fire. Similarly, the divine self permeates all, assumes the shape and form of all beings, and yet is beyond form, beyond name. In the case of fire, you need to rub two sticks, create friction. I'm not using the modern example of matches. But even there is the same principle, friction. So we give the example of fire in a mystical way. A disciple is one piece of wood. The guru is another piece of wood. They create friction. Fire emerges. Fire consumes them both. And there is nothing but fire. Fire is also symbolic of spiritual strength. If you are reciting mantras, if you do prayers, invoke powerful aspect of God, Hanuman, worshipper of sun god, or God, the God, any God is effulgent. There develops in you a mystical splendor called Tejas, Brahma Tejas, a divine radiation of mystical light that decks your personality. Also, Atmagyan, the knowledge of the self, is the greatest form of mystical fire. It consumes your subtle impressions of the unconscious, the vasanas. It burns down the forest of karmas. Therefore, fire has been the symbol of worshipping Brahman from ancient time. Fire is also described as all sarvabhakshi, eats up everything, most indiscriminate glutton. And whatever it eats up purifies it. Fire is a symbol of pure consciousness. So when you wake up from dream, your consciousness swallows up all your dream world, the three aspects of the dream, the seer, seen, and sight. And all that was good and bad in your dream world, all that was positive and negative. While in dream, you were a restricted, a limited individual. From dream subject point of view, there are things that are delectable, you can eat them, assimilate them. There are things that you can't eat. There are mountains, there are scorpions, there are snakes, and you can't deal with them exactly in the same way. But when you wake up, your consciousness nibbles them all, sarvabhakshi, in one gulp, and turns all of them into pure aware. There are subtle things to reflect upon, to understand what we mean by consciousness. What we mean by saying, I am Chaitanya, Chaitanya Swarup, the embodiment of pure awareness. How does that awareness enfold the three aspects of the world process? The seer, the subject, the world around you, and you're interacting with that world through your limited mind and senses. As long as your vision is trapped in the illusion of the triad, you are facing an enormous universe with countless multiplicities. But if you develop intuitive vision, intuition, then it's just like the difference between being in the dream world and waking. Similarly, you wake up. The waking awareness dawns upon you even while the dream may continue. Because sometimes people have that type of dream. You are dreaming and suddenly it dawns upon you, it is a dream. Then you become relaxed. But in the dream, the magic goes on. If you have been crying in your dream, tears still go on flowing. So that is the Atman, pure awareness. And all living beings are essentially that pure aware. And go one step further. All inert objects, all that exists in this universe is that pure aware. Simple illustration. All the world of your dream has evolved out of your own consciousness. The material aspect as well as living beings of your dream. Your own consciousness became inert objects as well as conscious beings. Apply that in relation to God. That divine consciousness is your essential nature. And that divine consciousness has become all living beings, and all that appears as the physical universe. Next illustration. Illustration of air. Vayuryathaiko bhuvanam pravishto rupam rupam pratirupo babhuva ekastatha sarvabhutantaratma rupam rupam pratirupo vahishcha. Air, having entered the world, assumes the forms of the objects that it pervades. In the same way, the innermost self of all beings, though one, assumes different forms and abides in them. Gives you a simple way to understand how air is everywhere to sustain life. Though air has also subtler meaning, air as cosmic energy that is all over the universe. But air in this atmospheric air, that's very vivid. Without it, no life can exist. Constantly you are breathing in and out. God in the form of air is maintaining your life, sustaining you, nourishing countless cells within your body, oxygenating them, and refreshing your body. And that air that passes through your nostrils, it's also passing through your enemy's nostrils. There's absolutely no attachment. It's absolutely untouched. Another aspect of air is prana, the vital forces. And prana is also all permeating entity. It is the prana that brings vitality, strength, beauty in every person. It carries the subtle ingredients that go to compose your astral body. That is, your karmas, your vasanas, all are conducted by prana. If your time to be in this body is over, the prana will gather all things, move away from the body and enter into another. That's why we say, and prana departs. When prana departs, the body becomes dead. It carries karmas. Karmas that have been virtuous, fragrant. Karmas that have been negative, foul. The wind carries all. Prana carries all types. Fragrance, foul. In itself, it remains untouched. So the more you become identified with prana within you, greater is your movement towards the knowledge, I am all. So the scriptures take you sometimes step by step. Remember, Bhrigu, a disciple, was told by his guru, Varuni. The Bhrigu disciple approaches the guru, and guru, he asks, teach me about Brahman. And guru says, guru gives a definition of Brahman. Brahman is that from whom the entire world has emanated, by whom the world is sustained, into whom the world dissolves. Try to meditate upon that, out of which all this has come. That which sustains all, into that all dissolves. That's Brahman. And the disciple reflects upon it, and after a certain passage of time, comes back to Guru and says, I know Brahman. The Guru asks, what do you know? And the disciple says, Annam Brahmeti Vajanat. Matter. See, very easily the mind first catches the simple truth. All things somehow, they are elaborations of matter. From matter they come, matter they are sustained, into matter they merge. The Guru says, repeats the same thing, he says, Tapo Brahmeti, he says, austerity is Brahman. By austerity he meant meditation, more meditation, practice more reflection. Then he comes back after a while and says, Pranam Brahmeti Vajana. I know prana is Brahman, because he worked it out. He realized that within the body, if prana is not there, many things can't be explained. The way the vitality expresses itself in the body. And vitality goes away, the body becomes lifeless. And somehow he worked out all matter has its source in energy. And so he came up with the idea, prana is Brahman. And the Guru tells him, prana is, do more tapas, do more meditation. This time he comes back and says, Mano Brahmeti Vajana. I know mind is Brahman. Because he worked out, if it is all just energy, you can't explain the intelligence aspect. Even in an atom, so many things are going on. But there is intelligence behind them. And so, the first stage of recognizing intelligence is the mind, presence of mind. Mind and senses, manomaya kosha. Of course, the Guru asks him to go further reflection. Then he comes to, say, vijnanam, intellect, buddhi. And then furthermore, he comes to the grip of that state where ego plunges into nothing and disappears. It's ananda, pure bliss. In day-to-day life, you are dealing with all these levels. Physical body, you are aware of it. You are also aware that your physical body will mean nothing if you don't have vitality. You are also aware if your vitality won't mean anything unless there is a regulator of your vitality, a mental factor. Even that will not mean much if you don't have intellect behind it that can give a direction and a purpose. And nature leads you beyond, even beyond your ego, day by day. If you can sharpen your intellect, you understand that even when your ego drops away from you, you are in the best of condition. The entire world moves away from you. You have come closest to the Atman, Brahman, with a veil of ignorance. That becomes the most important point in Vedanta. Try to work upon that and understand. At the deepest level, you are not the mind, you are not the intellect, you are not the... Continuing this theme, Suryo yatha sarvalokasya chakshu na lipyate chakshu shairvahya doshai ekastatha sarvabhutantaratma na lipyate lokadhukhe na bahya. The sun illumines the world and is unaffected by the eyes of various beings. In the same way, the innermost self of all beings is one, all-pervading, and is unaffected by the miseries of the world. Firstly, think of the role of the sun. The entire world, speaking in a figurative language, the earth planet is illumined by this. There is nothing but illumination of sun. But that illumination takes so many forms. Clouds dazzle. Countless reflections develop in wherever there is water. And even though in different parts, that reflection of the sun undergoes changes. That is to say, in some part you look at it, it's clear, some it is very confused, shaking. But even though there are so many expressions of the reflected sun, and as you look at those, in those parts, you can shed tears.
How miserable the reflection.
But all that does not affect the real sun. Chakshushaihi vaha doshai. The defects of your eyes do not affect the objects. See, your eyes suddenly start seeing double. That's real only for you, not for the real outside. Using as an illustration. Same way, countless minds are experiencing different experiences. Some are happy, some are miserable, some are sinking in karma, some are rising from it. They are all looking at the sun and interpreting it in countless ways. To some, that source of light in them is wonderful, magnanimous. That's those who are very advanced. To others, it is not so. People look at God or think of God in countless ways. But that is in any way affect God. The illustration, the sun. People have different views. They look at the sun in different ways. Early in the morning, the sun is so pleasant that Hanuman thought it was a fruit. During the midday, and you can't look at the sun. Solar plexus, most of the sun is gone. But all these are external, based on your way of looking at it. It is your defect. Same way, God, Brahman, the Antaratman, the innermost self in you, that inner self can become a source of immense joy, source of great support, can become your real life. But on the other hand, depending upon the degrees of ignorance that overcome your mind, and depending upon the way you look at the self within, the countless ways of looking at it, you can impose upon that self all the transient attributes of the world, but that self is untouched. It doesn't matter. You open your door and the suddenly sunlight and penetrates your eyes that have been sick and begin to curse. What a red, what a cruel joke. All that has no bearing upon the sun. Talk to the owls, they say sun never existed. Eko vashi sarvabhutantaratma ekam rupam bahudhaya karoti tamatmastham yenu pashyanti dhira. Tesham sukham shashvatam netaresham. The divine self is one, absolute, non-dual, the controller of all living beings, the indweller in all heart. The term indweller, antaryamin, that term has been elaborated in the scriptures. He abides in every object as the indwelling self. In every human being, the real knower of your heart is not you, not your ego. The knower that regulates your body, regulates your senses, your nerves. You are constantly handled by the indwelling self, the controller of your karmas. And you don't know him. But that's your goal, to know him, to realize, I am that. Your real self, just like you look at the jar with reflected sun in water. The reflected sun is at the mercy of water and at the mercy of the real sun. But one subtle point is there, the reflected sun is linked to the real sun. The if somehow the reflected sun were to inquire, who am I? Illusion will move away and there will be realization. And no matter how miserable it may appear in a jar, it is nothing but the sun. And no matter how pathetic may be the story of the jar, it has nothing, no bearing upon the sun. The Antaryamin God dwells in the sun. The solar orb doesn't know it. Dwelling within, that God rules over everything that the sun does. That's one illustration. Any object you choose in the world, think of a potato. The indwelling God dwells within it. Potato doesn't know it. Dwelling within, it controls the growth of the potato. Controls all, every fiber, every cell within. And that applies to all things in the universe, big and small. And the end of the story is that very self is you. The innermost self in you is not confined to your body. It is the indwelling self in all. That needs to be reflected upon. Your mind has to be guided by your reason. Instead of maintaining egoistic thoughts, ego-dominated feelings and thoughts, you go on impressing the mind with magnanimous view of the divine presence. Well, Bhramar-kīt-nyāya is, you see a caterpillar in a cocoon. The butterfly comes, sits over the cocoon, and this is dramatized in a poetic way. It goes on telling the caterpillar, you are me, butterfly. You're not in this. So, leave aside this caterpillar state. Don't be a kit. Don't be a worm. Come, fly. You allow the mind to assimilate the teachings of the scriptures. Listening, reflection. That teaching comes to you like the buzzing of the butterfly, buzzing of the bee. And as long as the intellect stays calm like a worm, listening to it, magic happens. Intellect suddenly becomes intuitional. But until then, listening and asserting day by day, constant affirmation in two aspects. If your intellect is not ready for profound inquiry, I am Brahman, then initiate your mind into bhakti, devotion, and go on instilling in your mind the idea, God is with me. He is the source of infinite love. He loves me most, and I am sustained by His presence. Therefore, nothing can go wrong. If you lead your mind constantly to surrender, then surrender opens the door to effacement of ego. Ego gets two treatment. One is a smooth treatment of surrender. Another, shedding light, igniting the matchbox. Jnana evaporates your ego. But ego has to be well treated by devotion. So it has become pliable, it has become tender, soft, speaking in a figurative language. Both must continue. The spirit of surrender, deha buddhya tu dasoham, as long as you are the body, in your practical world, mind is focused on your body. Always view yourself, I am a slave of God. May I live and move according to the will of God. Jiva buddhya tvadanshaka. And as your mind moves away from your body to have another level, that I am the soul, beyond time, beyond space, and birthless and deathless. I am a ray of God. God is like the sun, I am a ray. This is stage of bhakti. Now comes a stage, bhakti blossoms into jnana. I am that am I. All the three have to be worked upon in your personality. That's integral yoga. Never develop the idea that I have advanced enough, so no more of bhakti. I will just Brahman. Theoretically, it is wonderful. From a practical point of view, if you are practicing aham brahmasmi, that requires a special state of mind. The mind must be very quiet, very positive. It should not be burdened by little problems. Then you can open the mind to that inquiry. If you have chosen one-sided path, eccentric path, then you can't do any other sadhana unless the mind is in that level. So most of your time is being wasted. And for the mind to come to that level, to allow you to reflect, that will become remote. But if you are living a well-balanced movement, living your life, doing your karma yoga, I'm an instrument in divine, discovering faith and strength within yourself because I'm a ray of God, and then allowing your mind to get into higher level, I am that. He manifests his own non-dual form into the multiplicity of the world process. That I am has manifested in the form of the entire universe. Having realized that self, perceived the self within, an aspirant attains eternal bliss. There is no other way. First, you have to develop all-consuming fire of viveka, discriminative knowledge. So that's what does this. When the sun arises, it consumes all the darkness. Not one by one, see, just in one gulp. Vivek Shakti within you, knowledge, the discriminative knowledge, the knowledge where you separate the self from the not self. The moment self is separated, not self doesn't exist. Therefore, it's called fire. Fire is symbol of Vivek. The next air, bhavana, feeling. Feeling expands like air. And all illuminating sun, jnana, wisdom. That self, which is described as fire, as air, as sun, is right within the cave of your heart. Once you discover it, yours is the eternal bliss, not to others. It is in that discovery lies eternal bliss. Shashwat Sukha. And with this we conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.